Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church. There's an ancient story about a chief who was talking with a gathering of young warriors about the struggle within each man's life. And he said, it's like two dogs fighting inside of us. There's one good dog who wants to do the right, and the other dog who always wants to do the wrong. Sometimes the good dog seems stronger and is winning the fight, but sometimes the bad dog is stronger and wrong is winning the fight. And a young warrior asked him, so who's going to win in the end? The good dog or the bad dog? And the chief answered, the one you feed. The one you feed. Well, today, as we look at another one of the stories that Jesus told, I want us to think about this story alongside Jesus' story. And I pray you will find it helpful. So let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 verse 1 says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160-30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. You know, when Jesus spoke these words and told this story, the hearers would have been very familiar with the kind of situation that he was speaking about. We are so far removed from this situation. We're removed in time. We live 2,000 years later. We're removed culturally. We don't sow seed very often, and we really never have to worry about whether the seed turns into anything or not. I mean, we buy our bread from a supermarket, and someone else worries about all of those things. Essentially, we pay them to worry about all of that for us. Well, I guess that in the first century, the listeners were somewhat more attuned to the issues involved with the transformation from seed to plant. And that's why Jesus used this parable to explain something about the kingdom of God, because they could understand the process of sowing seed, and that would help them understand a little more about the kingdom of God. So today, I just want to focus on three things about the kingdom of God that Jesus teaches us through this story. The first thing is that the kingdom of God advances slowly. It doesn't all happen in a flash. With God, things always seem to take time. He's in no hurry. If you're finding that at times you're getting impatient with God, well, think about this story. God will bring all things to fruition in his time. Our task is to be faithful and to wait. The second thing is that there will be a whole range of responses to the message of the kingdom of God. Not everyone will respond in the same way, and not everyone will produce the same fruit from their life. The third thing that I find myself thinking about is this. The story challenges us to check our soil. The story challenges us to check our soil. Unlike the seed in Jesus' story that just lands where it will land and that's it, we actually have the ability to change and to check the soil in which we're planted. We have the ability to make a decision about where we're currently planted and to move somewhere else if required. If you're on the rocky path, you don't have to stay there. Unlike the seeds in Jesus' story, you can make a decision to find better, more fertile ground in which to grow. What's unusual about this parable is that Jesus actually unpacks and explains it to his disciples. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means, he said. This is verse 18. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, fields in Jordan and Israel, even today, have paths that go around and through them that are asphalt hard from centuries of people walking on them. When the seed falls on this ground, well, it hasn't a hope. The birds simply come and eat it. It disappears almost immediately. Well, Jesus said that the type of soil, this type of soil, is like those people whose hearts are so hard towards God, toward the kingdom of God, toward the gospel, that when it comes, when someone tells them about Jesus, they don't even hear it. They're so tuned out that the message of the good news has literally no impact on them whatsoever. Their hearts are hard. Do you know people like that? Maybe you're married to someone like that. Maybe you have family members who are like that. Well, I guess that with God, all things are possible. And we need to keep praying that the soil of their life will be softened so that they may actually hear the message of God's love for them. Maybe you feel like that yourself. Your heart has been hard towards God for so many years, but He wants you to change. Deep down, you know that you need to soften your heart toward God. Unlike the seeds being thrown out by the sower, you actually have the ability to change your soil. Not by making a geographic move, not by moving town or moving to a different church. You can change your soil by a change of heart, a change of attitude toward God. You can choose to soften your heart to the love of God. I'm not saying that it'll be easy, but you can choose to do that. I think also that there is a danger for those of us who are already Christians. We've already decided to follow Jesus, but there are areas of our lives that are rock hard to the Word of God. When we come to church, like we've done today, we come for a number of reasons. I want you to do a little bit of a heart check right now. Ask yourself honestly why you came today. The answer to that question can reveal a lot about just how hard your heart is to the Word of God, how resistant it is to God's Word, penetrating and changing you from within. I'm sure that most of you would agree that we come together to fellowship together, to catch up with friends, to hang out together, but primarily we come to worship God together and to hear from God. In other words, we come to let God's Word penetrate our heart and change us. Well, that's what we do in theory. The problem is that in practice, we all know that things can be very different. Let me explain a little further. If coming under God's Word and worship were a priority to us, I wonder if we would do things a little differently. When I was a little kid, everyone followed a particular routine when they came into church. I'm sure that many of you would know what I'm speaking about here. They would be here early, they would sit quietly while some music played, and they would prepare their hearts and minds to worship God. They came with an expectation of meeting God. Now, at the time, when I was a little kid, it all seemed a little silly to me that people would come into church, ignore those right near them, pinch the top of their nose and pray. When I was little, that seemed silly. As I've got older, I've come to realize just a little more about what they were doing. They were preparing their heart and mind for worship and for sitting under the Word of God. They'd come with an expectation. In the past, I've had lots of people at church who had partied hard Friday night. They'd spent all of Saturday playing sport, going to the beach, etc. And then they were out late Saturday night. Then come Sunday morning, they were simply exhausted. They often looked burnt to a crisp, literally snoring in church. That's not how we put God first. And that's how our hearts can become hard towards God without us even realizing it. The Word of God can't penetrate our lives because we're simply too tired. The farmer deals with hard soil by ploughing it, preparing it for the seed when it's sown. In the same way, we should prepare our soil so that the Word of God can penetrate our lives. Come to church with an expectation that God will do something in us, that He will change us as we sit under His Word, as we worship Him together, declaring His goodness and His greatness to each other, and as we fellowship together. So let me ask you this morning, how's your soil? How's your soil? Is it rock hard? Or does it need to be ploughed, prepared, softened up? so that God's word can get into your heart and mind. Jesus went on, he said, in this is verse 20, he said, "The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." You know, in Israel, there are great areas of limestone that come right up to the surface. It's not unusual, I'm told, to have large areas of rock amongst areas of good soil. Sometimes the rock is covered with a thin layer of soil. When the seed falls into this soil, especially following the rains, it heats up with the sun rays and it stays warm well into the night because it has this huge big heat sink, that the rock, keeping it warm. And now these are often the first seeds to germinate. And hence, at the beginning, it's these seedlings that look to be the healthiest of plants. Yet as soon as the sun starts really heating up and the soil begins to dry out, these plants shrivel up and die. They have nowhere to send their roots down because the soil is so shallow and they simply can't cope with the heat. This is the image that Jesus gave his hearers, and I'm sure they may well have been able to picture the situation a little better than we might. Jesus said, "But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." The image is like a person who hears the good news and responds immediately. But they don't want to put their faith into action. People who respond in this way are the emotional responders. Emotional responders need to grow up. Just as the hard-hearted need to soften up, the emotional responders need to grow up. When Louise, my wife Louise, started her nursing course at UTS in Sydney, she met a young girl named Kathy. Now, Kathy was a fun-loving girl from country New South Wales who didn't know Jesus. One week, Louise and her friends walked into the cafeteria of the university to find Kathy standing on a chair, speaking in a loud voice about how everyone needed to repent and give their lives to Jesus. Louise and the others were amazed to find that Kathy had decided to become a Christian only the week before, the Sunday before. She'd met a young guy who took her to church and she liked what she heard and she'd embraced her newfound faith wholeheartedly. Well, over the next couple of months, Kathy proceeded to lecture Louise and some of the other Christian girls on the finer points of Christianity from her perspective, despite the fact that by this stage, Louise had been walking with Jesus for nearly 20 years, and she came from maybe four or five generations of believers, and yet this young lady had been a Christian for a week, and she was telling everyone about how they should behave. Anyway, suddenly, without warning, Kathy just disappeared. A week turned into two. She didn't answer the phone and had apparently dropped out of uni. Well, finally, Louise and a couple of others tracked her down. She was pregnant with the child of one of her Christian friends and very depressed. Her world had come crashing down very suddenly. And because she'd been so vocal, so quick to admonish others in the name of Jesus, well, she felt embarrassed and isolated. Kathy was, I guess, like the seed that fell into shallow soil. At first, everything seemed fantastic. But as hard times came, as the heat was turned up, there was no depth to her faith and she began to wither. Eventually, we lost track of Kathy, but last we heard, she'd married and her life seemed to be kind of turning around, which was great. Well, Jesus said, "Because this shoot has no deep roots, it lasts only a short time." The question then is, how do I make sure that I'm in deep soil and my roots are growing down deep? How do you make sure that you're not sitting in shallow soil thinking that everything's going well? Well, I think Psalm 1 can be helpful here. Psalm 1 is just such a great psalm to memorize, to build a life around. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So what does it mean to walk in the counsel of the wicked, to stand in the way of sinners, to sit in the seat of mockers? Well, basically it means to listen to the advice of the wicked, to live a lifestyle like the wicked, to keep company with the wicked. Don't listen to the advice of those who have no regard for God and his ways. Don't live a lifestyle like those who have no regard for God. Don't keep company with those who don't care about God and his laws. If you want deep soil to grow in, you've got to get into the Word of God. You have to realize the importance of the Word of God. There is nothing else that will help you grow as a Christian like the Scriptures. Secondly, you can't continue to live the way you used to live before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To call him Lord means to obey him. So changes in your lifestyle will have to follow. The old habits, they're just like that huge sheet of rock under the soil, preventing your roots from going down deep. Old, sinful habits cause us to be shallow, immature believers. Earlier I said that emotional responders need to grow up. The way you grow up is to get into the Word of God. Seek to grow as a follower of Jesus. Look for opportunities to serve others and put your old life behind you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians living in Colossae. He said, this is Colossians 3, verse 5. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Immature believers with nothing more than shallow soil hang on to their old ways. Followers of Jesus who look forward to producing a whole heap of fruit from their lives realize the need to grow in good soil. So let me ask you again, how's your soil? If you know that you're in shallow soil, what are you doing about it? How's your soil? Next, Jesus says, verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. The third type of soil that Jesus spoke of was thorny or weed-filled soil. The thorns grow up quickly. They choke out the plants. The weeds consume the water and nutrients that should be used for the plant's nourishment, and so they die. These thorns represent the cares of life and the desire for wealth, which choke the word of God out of the lives of many people. The pursuit of worldly wealth will consume all your energy, energy that should be used in the pursuit of spiritual wealth. When we focus on the wrong things, we fail to grow and we'll fail to produce the fruit that God has planned for us. And then Jesus says, verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. I love this promise. Have you ever thought about these figures, 30, 60, 30 times what was sown? Do you get what this is all about? Spiritual fruit is what God is concerned about. Spiritual fruit is the result of turning to God and the result of the Holy Spirit working within the life of the Christian. Jesus said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, when we receive the love of God, when we love others, when we receive forgiveness from God, we then forgive others As we receive blessing from God, we then bless others. The secret to bearing much fruit is deep soil, preparing the soil of our hearts, making sure that when we come to hear the word of God, fresh and awake, expectant, that we focus on the important things, not on trivial things, that we look not to what God might be saying to others, but what God might be saying to us. When we do that, we prepare the soil of our heart and we'll keep it soft towards God. The secret to bearing much fruit is making sure that we keep the soil of our lives free from weeds and thorns. Weeds and thorns that will choke us spiritually and ensure that we are in fact fruitless. Remember what Jesus said, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So how's your soil? Are there old habits that lurk below the surface of your life like a huge sheet of rock? From the top, everything looks normal, everything looks fine. But underneath, well, it's another story. Ungodly habits will not only choke you spiritually, but they'll prevent you from bearing much fruit. Have a look at what Jesus says about the secret to bearing much fruit. This is in John 15, verse 4. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." See, the secret to bearing much fruit is staying close to the Lord, living by his word. I mean, that means being obedient to his word. So how's your soil? How's your soil? Do you need to change your soil? And which dog are you feeding? Which dog are you feeding? The one who wants to do right or the one who wants to do wrong? Amen. May the Lord bless you today.